I know we don't live in New York City. Why do we care about New York City? Well, I'll explain that in just a second. But when you're asking why do we care about New York City, there's a reason. And one thing is, this is going to be a very unique outcome, I think, with this. It's going to be really bad for the country. Who runs the city does matter to the country to some extent, but not a lot. The stock market is no longer a physical place where people piled in onto the floor to throw a bunch of pieces of paper all over each other's fortunes were made or lost. Back then, New York City mattered. Now it's mostly done on a computer or even a phone while the brokers collect massive commissions and bonus checks in between lines of blow in Miami. So the financial hub of America ain't what it used to be, or to say the least, it isn't a very important location. Now, taxes and regulations are hollowing it out. Which, that makes me... I'm not real happy about that. I love architecture. New York's got a lot of really fine architecture. And, you know, back in the days when you would see stuff and New York was... you know, they wrote songs about New York and all these other things. It was a very romantic place. Now it's just a hellscape. Now it's a... Well, they've made mistakes, and now they're having less and less of a chance to ripple where you live. Where we live. Which is why I'm content to let its city destroy itself. Now, when I was in Greer the other day, a lot of people are very upset in Greer, as they are here and all over the upstate, that so many people are coming here. And some of those people from New York, when it begins to eat itself alive, they will come here. But my question to any of those coming here is going to be, who did you vote for? Who did you vote for? And if so, why are you leaving? Because a lot of people are looking at New York right now and saying, what you're about to do will be bad for you. And if they choose to do it anyway, I think it's going to be their fault. And when this is stupidity, and the stupidity is electing a radical leftist, I have a hard time caring. Now, whether we like it or not, even Donald Trump saying it now, Zohran Mamdani is going to be the next mayor, probably going to be the next mayor there, a radical leftist with no experience at all, and a bunch of stupid ideas that have been failed everywhere that they've been tried. He seems to believe that if he makes buses free, that would be a good thing. And it would lead to fewer attacks on bus drivers. Because, I guess, if you don't have to worry about paying a couple of bucks for a ride, that compunction you might have to stab somebody might just fade away. Even if you're mentally unstable. And believe it or not, getting on a bus used to be a haven for normal people to avoid insane homeless people. Now, getting on a bus that the crazy person won't pay for is now going to be their mobile home nap station. What could go wrong there? And a lot's going to go wrong. A lot's going to go wrong. And other blue hellscapes will want to emulate this. They will want to emulate this. But, hey, listen, if these people want to vote for it, I guess, you know, it's going to be buy one, get one free on body lice. But what's probably actually going to happen is going to be fewer genuine bus riders. Because you don't want to sit near the junkie that's, you know, soiling themselves on the way to or from work. And this is where... this ability to not care has to manifest, because it's the job of voters to do their own due diligence. In the run-up, they should be demanding answers. They should be asking questions. And now they're going with the same sort of snake oil salesman who sold the same nonsense that Bill de Blasio sold them. Only this time, he's a little better looking. And if you're willing to vote for a moron with a smile, good luck. Some think that Curtis Sliwa, the Republican perma-candidate, should drop out to give Cuomo his best shot at beating the anti-American anti-Semite. But the polls show that, at least for now, that wouldn't be enough. Sliwa says that Cuomo should get out. But he's done this more than once, and he's never gotten anywhere with it. Occasionally, you have to look at something, and you have to say, I can't save them from themselves. And you got to... You got to get out there and just let it happen. It's got to suffer. It's got to learn. They should have learned already. Republicans should look at this and use this as an example of what not to be. We cannot save them from themselves. And, you know, I found this quite ironic. I actually listened for the first time. I mean, I've watched the movie, I don't know, hundreds of times. But I actually listened to the soundtrack the other day of Escape from New York. And I went ahead and I found one online and I've ordered it. And New York is going to become a place that we insulate from the rest of the rest of the United States. Let's go this way. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Dale in Taylor's. Yes, sir. Well, let's see if we can hit it. There we go. Well,
my call.
There. Yes, sir.
There you go. Thanks for taking my call. Yesterday, you had Michael Letts on, and it kind of disturbed me a little bit that the United States Congress, especially the Senate, and John Thune isn't doing what he should be doing. The United States Congress has total power right now. Mike Johnson and John Thune are the two most powerful people in the United States of America right now. They could do anything they want to do. And I'm just wondering why they're not doing it. I'm kind of seeing what I'm seeing here is a decay of the U.S. dollar. We're falling so deeply in debt that we may not be able to get out of it now as it is. I think I'm seeing a slowly choreographed decay of the United States of America. Tell me something that will bring me down out of this tree here.
Well, right now, the government can't do anything until they open it back up.
Well, John Thune can do that. It's called the nuclear option.
Well, he can. He can, but I mean, he's following, you know, Trump. Trump has always been the commander-in-chief, and every time they get out there and say, oh, you can't send these National Guard in there, he says, okay, well, we'll just take this through the process. And it's in the long run, it's better to do it that way, because when it does come time to actually go nuclear, there's no coming back.
Really? So you don't think that Thune could just simply change his own Senate rules back to where they are now after the nuclear option?
I don't know. That's... I don't know enough about the rules of the Senate to play that game. I would think that that's something they could do. It would look really sort of messed up, though.
Yeah. Well, do you honestly think that any of those guys up there care what any of us think?
Oh, I think that Thune, I mean, the fact that they haven't caved already, the Democrats have voted down for the 12th time the continuing resolution. And they're doing exactly what they should be doing, which is holding the line. Because this is also going to be a campaign topic. And this is the Schumer shakedown. This is Schumer's fear of being primaried by AOC. That's why all of this is happening. And they're just going to let it play.
I lost you briefly there, Bill. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I'm running out of time anyway, but
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call, sir. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It. Yes, sir.
See ya.
Yeah, I see that happening. But New York, I don't care about that. The Brady campaign has gotten out there. They have something they want to say. This is News Talk, 98.9 WORD. All right, let's go back to the phones real quick to Larry in North Carolina. Yes, sir.
How you doing? Hey, listen, I listen to your show a lot and all the other talk shows. My one concern is just about when you're talking about New York, is there any way you could just say New York City? Because the rest of New York ain't like the city.
Well, see, I've never been to New York. I know there's five separate boroughs, right? And I do know, listen, I know New York, New York State is a big gun state and a big hunting state. And that, you know, I know that the problem for New York State is New York City.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. But when you're saying, like, stuff about New York and people like me from being from Long Island, it ain't like that in Long Island. New York City's a melting pot, and it's terrible. I've worked in there for years, but I just, when you say New York.
Yeah. Too broad of a brush. Too broad of a brush, huh?
I got you.
Okay. Well, I mean, listen, I certainly meant no slight by it.
I know you didn't.
It's, you know, I want to go to New York City just to go to B&H Photo or Camera Store.
You would probably enjoy New York City.
I probably would. Well, I'd have to go, and I'd have to be able to carry a gun. Though I'm not going to get racked up just because of
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. But that doesn't happen. And it all depends on where you go in the city, too.
I mean, right,
you
right. Go to I'm
the,
sure.
The beautiful sites like the Twin Towers, well, Twin Towers, the Freedom Building and stuff like that, it's awesome.
I have done a lot of work in the past with New York State gun rights people. And I've done one with one group that was just clear out of New York City, living right there in downtown Manhattan in a brownstone. So I know that most of New York is a good place. It's just that your government is a cesspool. Most of New York City and your governor, I mean, you can't deal. You don't like Hochul, do you?
No. I don't like nothing about New York City. But like I said, I lived on Long Island, and my daughter lives upstate New York by West Point. And it's beautiful up there. And it's all Republican up there.
I gotcha.
That city's a hole. And like you said, that thing should just be eliminated and float down the river.
I'm going to write myself a cheat note and put it on a sticky note and stick it on my monitor. So I say, New York City.
There you go. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Yes. I shouldn't paint with too broad of a brush. The Brady campaign has gotten out there, and, they're going somewhere they don't normally go. Normally, the gun control advocates will get out there and tell you, well, it's okay for the military and the police to have guns. They just want to take your gun, right? But given the ascendancy of ICE and the fact that ICE is out there operating in so many different places at the moment, the Brady campaign's president has come out there, and she doesn't even want the police to be armed. And her name is Chris Brown. She's probably one of the most non-informed people out there today. The saying goes, she liked that Star Wars show, The Acolyte, because they didn't have any blasters. They only had lightsabers. It's much better to be cut in half by a laser sword than to be shot. And then she got on Blue Sky. And she said, ISIS weapons spending is up 700% under Trump to go after Americans on domestic soil. And they've turned law enforcement into an armed political tool and left communities to face the scourge of illegal guns alone. And they're not preventing crime, they're fueling it. And to further her point, she's got two guys close to the camera of the picture she's showing, and they're wielding less lethals. One's got a taser, the other one's got a beanbag gun. She really is stupid. She really is stupid. But I guess if you're arming federal law enforcement, that means that you're fueling violence. But, and according to this, they're also saying that she thinks that illegal alien criminals are actually Americans. Now, ICE has grown to it. It has grown to the degree it has because Biden let 12 million people in here. It has to go up because of the numbers that just came into the country, despite the law. So in order to have the law come back and to try to get law and order, it's going to take more people to make that happen. And so Chris Brown is going after ICE. And even the cartels have gotten into it. They've even gotten to it. They're out there putting bounties out there. But Brown is not about... She's not looking to dox and kill ICE officers. She wants to take guns from them. So I guess this means the Brady campaign means to take guns away from everybody. The media will overlook this one. They're going to overlook it altogether. Altogether. But like most leftists, whenever they go and get out into the wild blue like this, they're hysterical. One thing about children is going to be in New York is that they've got death panels in New York now. Death panels. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. centralized healthcare is a really bad thing because it always works out to where it's going to ration healthcare, ration treatment. And the political left, when this was brought up, they were laughing off the phrase death panels. But in states like New York State, unfortunately, it's not a conspiracy theory, it's an official policy. So earlier this month, the state's Drug Utilization Review Board voted to pause Medicaid coverage for Elevidys, a one-time gene therapy for children with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, a fatal progressive condition that slowly robs boys of muscle, mobility, and eventually life. And the reason had nothing to do with medical safety or scientific uncertainty, had to do with money. And during the board's October 2025 meeting, they noted that fewer than 30 New York Medicaid patients had received Elevidys, yet the treatment accounted for nearly half of total spending on Duchenne therapies. And their conclusion wasn't to manage coverage more efficiently. They just started to, they just decided to kill it. Never mind that the FDA has already approved Elevidys for patients aged 4 and older, both ambulatory and non-ambulatory. Never mind that families and clinicians submitted evidence showing boys gaining strength and walking again and even climbing stairs for the first time in years. No, they decided to fixate on the per-treatment cost and voted unanimously to suspend coverage until further safety labeling is reviewed. Meanwhile, same state that claims it can't afford life-saving therapy for dying children continues to spend freely on programs with zero medical justification. Right now, they're spending billions to provide Medicaid coverage for illegal aliens, a policy defended by the Democrats as humane, but which drains resources from citizens in need. Dr. Mehmet Oz rightly called it gaslighting America. The numbers back him up. They also have decided to foot the bill for transgender surgeries and hormone treatments for convicted inmates. Now, this one stops me dead in my tracks. I'm just, you know. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? So, in order to get to your inner girl, you had to be put in a penitentiary. Is that right? And while you're there, why not just go ahead and make it official? And, and let's weigh this, shall we? So you've got convicted criminals in U.S. prisons receiving taxpayer-funded transition procedures. And then you've got children in New York with a fatal neuromuscular disease being told that their treatment is paused. Now, see, I think that I already know that Medicaid loses billions to fraud and billing abuse and bureaucratic waste. In 2023 alone, the HHS Inspector General guesstimated that it was near $50 billion. But Albany isn't pausing that spending. It's pausing the one treatment that literally would let children, little boys, stand on their own two feet. And I've heard this phrase a lot of times, and I've been like, well, how do you apply it? How do you apply it? This is the application of the phrase moral inversion. Now, to the families watching their sons lose muscle strength every month, just watching them waste away, that's doublespeak for delay until it's too late. Duchenne dystrophy does not wait for paperwork. It hits and it goes, and it continues to go, and it goes, and it goes, and it goes. Until one day, whatever it's been going on, the damage is so irreversible, they're just done. Right now, all of these parents in New York State are having to file individual Medicaid appeals. As New York now demands and ensures that some people will simply age out or deteriorate beyond eligibility. And there is no scientific justification for this. The FDA's own analysis found that Elevidys increases microdystrophin expression, whatever that means, and produces measurable functional improvements. I'm thinking that means they get a little more muscle density. Cases of liver toxicity, repeatedly cited by the New York officials, occurred primarily in non-ambulatory patients. And the company has since implemented an enhanced immunosuppression protocol. So no fatal liver events have been reported among ambulatory children. But rather than have somebody, you know, tell them, hey, this is what this is, they decided to make their own decision. And their so-called high-cost drug policy empowers them to label certain therapies as fiscally excessive, even if it's clinically effective. And that'll make somebody's budget spreadsheet look sort of tidy. But, I mean, the way they're spending money, why do they care about how that looks? If they're out there saying, what, you're a prisoner and you want to be a girl? Okay, we'll help you with that. Why would that even be a thing? And for the families out there, if your child's cure doesn't align with the political priority, well, then you can't expect to get any help. So while they're out there bragging about equity, inclusion, and compassion, but these terminally ill little boys that just want to climb stairs, their treatment costs too much. And they could fix this tomorrow. They could restore Medicaid coverage for Elevidys, negotiate outcome-based payment agreements, or tie reimbursement to measurable improvement. And instead, they're choosing delay. I've seen a bunch of basketball games do this where they know they're going to lose anyway and they keep calling the timeouts. There are no timeouts in Elevidys. They need to be getting it right then and there. Otherwise, Duchesne takes the lead. And this boils down to one very simple thing. They're deciding who is worth treatment. And if they begin to decide that you're not worth treatment anymore, then healthcare ceases to be about healing. It becomes about hierarchy then. And then the smallest, sickest patients lose first. And the longer this pause is going to drag on, the clearer it becomes the real death panels aren't a myth. They meet monthly. And in New York State, their victims are children whose only crime is being too expensive to them for them to be saved. In the United States, we just had a catastrophic storm that you didn't even hear about. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. Now, I'm going to do my very level best to pronounce some of these town names, but make no mistake, these are American because they're in Alaska. Western Alaska's Yukon Kuskokwim Delta was battered in mid-October by the remnants of Typhoon Halong, unleashing up to 100 mile-per-hour winds and a catastrophic storm surge that flooded low-lying coastal villages. This all hit October 12th through the 14th. Water rose several feet above the normal tides, and the waves ripped into riverbanks, boardwalks, fuel farms, and homes. Most of the area is at sea level, so when the typhoon storm surge comes in, everything's going under. Now, according to local reporting from KYUK, the public media outlet in Bethel, two remote Yupik villages, Kipnuk and Quigilinuk, suffered catastrophic damage. Local and state briefings describe near total residential loss in Kipnuk, which means damage to virtually every home, and widespread destruction in Quigilinuk. And Bethel, as the regional hub, was inundated with evacuees as airlifts ramped up. Kipnuk Tribal Administrator Buggy Carl told reporters that it is unsafe to stay. Power and telecommunications are spotty, and nearly all the homes in both areas are damaged. On October 17th, a special Anchorage Assembly meeting was convened in Anchorage to discuss plans to help those affected, and at the time of the meeting, evacuees from about 15 Alaskan villages overall were reportedly heading for Anchorage. Now, during the meeting, a representative from District 38 explained that the residents from remote communities like hers are taught not to ask for any assistance or help. But she confirmed the need, asking rescuers to be patient, to stop and take time to allow displaced residents time to open up. And at least 572 individuals have already arrived, and officials in Anchorage were told to expect about 1,600 evacuees. As of October 20th, one death has been reported and there are two missing, all from Quigilinuk. And according to the members of the assembly and the others reporting, many have lost their homes, and one home reportedly floated a half mile down the street with a woman inside. The emergency was so unprecedented that the Anchorage Municipal Code had to be expanded to include state or federally declared disasters. Ordinarily in Alaska, civil emergencies apply only to those within municipal borders. Officials in Anchorage prepared both short and long-term plans to manage the catastrophe, anticipating, for one, an influx of students into Anchorage schools. In response to this disaster, they have mounted a historic evacuation airlift. Many affected residents to Bethel and then on to Anchorage. The Alaska Airlines Egan Center is converted to a large American Red Cross shelter to handle evacuees. According to Alaska's Department of Military Affairs, you had two Black Hawks, one Black Hawk Medevac, one Chinook, one C-17 Globemaster, and they were all activated for the mission. I would love to know where the C-17's landing. Christy Noem also said that the U.S. Coast Guard is being involved, gotten involved in the evacuations. Quinn Hagek, resident Warren Jones, told Alaska Public Media that the storm surge peeled back the shoreline that borders the village by as much as 60 feet, stripping off the topsoil tundra and leaving only clay and permafrost exposed. Disasters in remote Alaska are not like disasters anywhere else in the lower 48 states. Simply put, when this hits them, they can't go down the street to Home Depot for supplies or drive to a hotel if their home floods, because these things don't exist in these remote native villages. And the land in this part of Western Alaska is so flat. So major storms can, when they come in there, they drive the ocean into the delta and the water spreads out. Most of the land is very close to sea level, in some places less than 10 feet above the high tide line. Permafrost is also thawing, land is subsiding, and sea level rises, adding to the risk. And for many people, there is nowhere to go. Even Bethel, the region's largest town, about 60 miles up from the Kuskokwim River, saw flooding from how long? How long? And these are very remote communities with no roads to cities, and the only way to access them is by boat or plane. And right now, there's a lot of people there with nowhere to live, and winter is coming. I often sit around and I've watched a lot of the, there's a lot of shows on reality TV about Alaska. And, when these guys go hunting around here, they're like, oh yeah, I don't want to have to eat this. So I'm going to go try to kill this. In Alaska, they have to go hunting to eat or fishing to eat. And they have X amount of time that they can actually do that before it gets just too cold to go out there and do things, where everything freezes up and they can't do what they got to do. So they've got to, they have a very short period of time to do this. And they really are. Most everybody there is off grid, you would say. Makes me wonder about communications. I've never heard about any ham stuff happening in Alaska. I'm sure there is plenty of it. There would have to be. But I don't know. But this happened, and we didn't hear anything about it, did we? We heard nothing about this. This is an American state, an American village. We're being told that Governor J.B. Big Boy Pritzker, he likes to do a lot of gambling and everything, but, he comes out of there with a lot of money, but there's never any video of him actually sitting down and gambling. And these are things that make me go, This is News Talk 98.9 WORD.